here, and thank you. I got a card, a couple of you sent a text message, and we're just really, really appreciative of that, and so very thankful. Truth of the matter, if I get a couple of guys, some of you don't have the notes for today, you may want a copy of those. Maybe get a couple of folks, Brandon and some other, if you just want to run out, and if you want a copy of the notes while we're playing the video, maybe you can help get those to some folks, and all. If you want a copy of that. Let's play the video, guys.
Valley Church, I hope you guys are well. Sorry, I am sitting in a car, but I promise I'm not driving. Excited to update you guys. I hope you all are doing well, and just wanted to even say thank you for a sweet birthday gift. You guys sent a gift card and really appreciate it. So I'm doing well. I have a lot going on. I'm moving houses this month, and then we're planning for a big conference in September. I'm loving life here still. It's been sweet. We are preparing for term two on campus, and so our students kind of came back in the last 2 or 3 weeks, and so we're having Bible studies, and last term we were able to see 3 students profess faith in Christ.
Amen.
Which is really exciting. It's just fun. Like, it's probably the first season since COVID where we've had some, like, normality and ministry and having events and being on campus, and so... Yeah, students are coming to faith in Christ. There's a lot of Bible studies happening, and so yeah, we're just praying that God would move in the hearts of students that are continually coming to Bible study, wrestling with the Lord, that He in a real way would meet them and they would come to faith in Christ. If you guys were to pray, one is, I think for me, just consistency in my new home, and just, yeah, the Lord would grow some consistency for me, which I think would lead to some greater health. For students on campus, like, we're doing lots of Bible studies, just that God would move and change hearts, and we would keep, I think, finding the students that are really genuinely spiritually interested. Those are the 2 big things, and then the conference in September. Thank you guys so much. I love you a lot. Praying for you, and thankful for your partnership.
Amen. Amen. She talks fast. And so if you got a copy of the notes and all, I hope you did that. And again, Allison Newbert, we are just very thankful for her. Interestingly, her dad was here, helping us get some things and all, and we're replacing some signs that have faded out there, and so as getting us a quote on that, and we're just thrilled to partner, thrilled to do that. And again, thank you. A lot of you, I forgot that several folks yesterday afternoon texted or whatever and said, hey, I just forgot, and we had a great second Saturday outreach, evangelism, soul winning, whatever word means more to you, and so I hope you'll get a chance to do that. If you didn't, or you go, Saturday's never going to work out because of work, responsibilities, whatever, we want to encourage, if you want to take 10 or 15 or 20, whatever your street or cul-de-sac is, and take those, and you can go and pray in front of those houses or knock on the door and invite your neighbors. We'd love for you to do that. Again, we live in an impersonal world, and a little bit of personal contact means so much. Truth of the matter is, it's good discipline for some of us just to take a moment or two and pray for some folks, and the Lord meet their needs, help them to have repented, help them to know you, help them be involved in a good Bible preaching church. And so we got to do that, give or take 330 homes yesterday, and so we're very thankful. Still trying to reach the 50,000 live within 5 miles of our building. If you think that's a good idea to let those folks know that Jesus loves them and that there is hope for their condition, would you say amen? Amen. Ephesians 5, verse 15. Middle school folks and elementary school folks and other folks who just don't want to be here, you can be dismissed and go down the hall. Yeah, all right. Woo! I just don't like it how happy Andrea looks to be leaving the service. So, anyway. All right. If you wanted a copy of those, I hope you got that. If not, I hope you are. At least find your way to the app. You can see the extended things, and I want to be a help and a blessing to you. One more time, if you don't mind, stand. We pay honor to God and His Word, Ephesians 5, verse 15. See, then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Don't be foolish. Don't waste your life. Live it for Christ. Verse 17, redeem the time. Buy it up. Store it up. Snatch it up. Put a premium on it, because the days are evil. It will never be easier to live for God than it is right now. Verse 17. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. 2 times, 3 verses. Don't be foolish. Don't be unlearned. don't make it mysterious. What is plain, do what God says to do. That is your fulfillment. Verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, 20, and 21, he kind of lays that out, what that looks like here. I want to focus this morning, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, dissipation, riotousness, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Would you pray with me, front to back, left to right? Lord, I pray you speak to hearts. Help me speak clearly. Help me be understood. Help me to say things and honor you. Help me to understand, Lord, just like it was 2,000-3,000 years ago, Lord, we struggle with the everyday things. So I pray you'd help us. I pray you'd give us wisdom. I pray you'd help us seek safety. I pray, Lord, we would draw a line in the sand about what is sinful. And that would be obvious. Help me not overspeak. Help me not in my rush to be concise, to leave out something that's important. And Lord, help me not be hypercritical. Help me not do like so many who don't struggle in an area, act like I have no empathy. Now, Lord, you are the friend of sinners. And so I pray that way. I pray you'd help us. But I pray you'd help us reorient to a biblical position here, and that we'd view the world not like a commercial or a teen program or something on the e-network or something crazy like that, but instead look at this biblically. And so in these moments, so help us, I pray. Use us, I ask. And God, I pray you draw us to yourself. I ask this all in your Son's wonderful and precious name, and amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. So we're going to talk about not being controlled by alcohol, being controlled by the Spirit. We're really going to talk about being under the influence. I kept workshopping some titles and things last night, and I want to help us. I want to do that, but I want to take a little bit of a running start, and kind of see where we are. I think I've got the control, and you guys got me recording. We said last week, don't live like God doesn't exist. That's verse 15. Don't be unwise. Don't be foolish. Don't act like there is, Psalm 14:1, the fool said in his heart, there is no God. Don't live that way. Don't live that way. One of the first and easiest ways to miss God's will is to live like he doesn't exist. And we talked about there's a mental idea, intellectual idea, but then there's that practical idea. You go through the day, you never pray. You go through the day, you never say, what does God want me to do? You act like it's your money. You act like it's your house and your family. You act like it's your life. That's a foolish way to live. He says, instead, prize the time. And he's not talking about the ticks of a second on a clock. I'm sorry for those of you. He's not talking about, you know, the time you watch on your phone when the numeral changes over there. I keep saying ticks on a clock. Next, I'll be talking about you dialing a phone. Nobody knows what that means either anymore. If I say phone booth, just go ahead and wheel me off to the old people's home. And so when he's talking about this, make the most of the moments. Make the most of the moments, the seasons of life. Make the most of your life. Redeem it. Buy it. Apprise it. Don't waste your life, is what he's saying. Verse 17, be not unwise, but understanding the Lord's will. Do God's will. Do God's will. Don't waste your life. Do God's will. And if I had a message to preach to anywhere and everywhere, I think I'd preach the cross. That'd be my primary message. But if I had two, it'd be a hard toss-up. And part of that toss-up would be these verses right here. Don't waste your life. Do God's will. Do God's will. What job should I take? Who should I marry? Should I stay single? Should I buy this car? Should I take this job? Should I invest in this company? What should I do? Well, you do God's will and start there, and then let everything else come to play. Come to play. Say, how does that how does that work? 1 Timothy, if it's so revealed to us, what does he say? 1 Timothy 2, 3, and 4. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That all should come to repentance. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God and our Savior. That's verse 3. I quoted verse 4. His will for you is to be Spirit-filled. We just read that one, Ephesians 5, 18. His will for you is to you be sanctified, you to be living right and holy. God's will is not for you to get clean, go jump back in the mud puddle. God's will is for you not for you to be clean and then nothing ever change in your life. Again, the old preacher, if you is what you was, then you ain't. That's terrible grammar, but it's pretty good Bible. It's pretty good Bible. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. You should abstain from fornication. It's God's will that you be submissive, haughtiness, arrogance, spiritual supremacy. I'm not going to listen to my spouse. I'm not going to listen to the preacher. I'm not going to, nobody can tell me what to do. Again, you want to mark out wickedness in a young person's life, you watch how they treat their parents. Disrespectful to parents, dishonoring to parents, disobedient to parents. You are not exhibiting being under control of the Spirit of God. Because if you were, you'd be obeying your mom and dad, stepmom and stepdad, because they've been put in your life, so you learn to obey them. Fifth commandment, so you will one day obey, you obey a parent that you can see, you'll one day not one day learn how to obey a God that you cannot see. I think it's an epidemic. And moms and dads, stepmoms, stepdads, man, we gotta toe the line. We gotta get them ready to stand before God. Part of that is helping them be submissive. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Be submissive, be suffering. Maybe God's will, 1 Peter 2:20. What glory is it when you're buffeted for your faults? You take it patiently. What is it when you do well and suffer for it? Sometimes it's just God's will. Life is hard. And in turn, we do what? We give glory to God. You got two cars, a brick house, a little money in the bank, eat out a couple of times a week, nobody pays any attention to you. Everything goes sideways, and you say God is good, and everybody's paying attention to you. Sometimes we may do that. And then finally, saying thanks. Saying thanks, 1 Thessalonians, and everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You don't have to pray about grumbling and mumbling. That's sinful. You don't have to pray about the other. I'm at that age where you do something nice for somebody, and they don't say thank you. I want to hit them. It's going to get me in trouble. How many of you would like to, how many of you would bail me out if I hit somebody for doing it? Would anybody come to the courthouse? Like seven of you. I'm holding you to it. And because I would be on the news. Local man does nice thing. Nobody said thank you. He hit him with a tire iron in the shoe. And I wouldn't hit him in the head. But anyway, and those kind of things. Those kind of things. I'm the kind, when we were raising our kids were small, we'd say thank you. And they go, thank you. No, no, no. And they say, you're welcome, Mike, smart aleck. No, no, you say thank you. What for? I just said, no, no. You know. And now it's a thing. Anybody go round and round with young people before, and it becomes a thing, and all of a sudden your sanctification is tested. All right, just me. So we are to be saying thanks. When a person is saved and spirit-filled and God is changing their life, they're learning to be submissive, they're willing to endure suffering, and they have a thankful, grateful heart, you are doing a large portion of God's will. If that kind of makes sense to you, the recap from last week, nod or say amen. You with me? With me? You can follow that, right? You say God's will sounds nebulous. Sounds like you're going to be throwing dice and really getting alone. And we're not talking just about vocational thing. We're just talking about the nuts and bolts of the Christian life. Then what in the world is verse 18 doing here? What in the world is verse 18 doing here? He talks about sexual sin quite a bit in the first four chapters. He talks about sensuality and selfishness. We kind of get that. That's antithetical. But he really seemed like he changes gears hard. You know, don't be drunk with wine. And we've not talked about anything like that. And all of a sudden he's here. Instead, be filled with the Spirit of God. Filled with the Spirit of God. I would remind you, I think your life's passion ought to be to find, follow, and finish the will of God. That's it. That's it. Your life's passion. Whether you're 18 or 88, that ought to be your life's passion. What does God want me to do? Find, follow, and finish the will of God. Find, follow. You can know God's will. You can't know it if you don't know God's word. Well, I think and I feel. Those are great things for all kind of things. But I think and I feel is terrible when you're talking about the will of God. You got to. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? We start there. We start there. So why is he doing this? Why does he throw this hard right turn? Seems like. Well, part of it is the background there in Ephesus. They are all about this crazy mysticism. They are all about the temple worship. And so they would come and they would have these drunken sex parties and groups and mobs. And this is kind of this paganism is what they're known for. And this was supposed to heighten the spiritual experience. And he's using that as a pretty obvious backdrop. One writer said it like this. The modern drug and rock culture is little different than these pagan rites. Drugs, psychedelics, ear-pounding music, suggestive lyrics and antics all combined to produce near hysteria in many of the performers and spectators. It's significant that much of the subculture is directly involved in one or more of the Eastern mystical religions that teach greater spiritual awareness. I could give you interview after interview. I can give you quote after quote from those at the forefront of so much of the culture in the music culture now, and they are Eastern mystics to a core, many of them dabbling in the satanic and the occult, and they gear their music and they set their concerts up in such a way that everybody is giving themselves over to whatever's coming off the stage. People leave the concerts and they go, man, that was a way spiritual experience. This is not a new thing. This is an old thing. By the way, and the country western ballads have lost their mind too, because they've amped up everything and they got the light strobing at you, and everybody's smoking, and everybody's drinking, and everybody's out of their absolute gourd because the music at 150-some decibels, is pounding their body into submission. So that's controversial. I can back it up with science, and I think I can back it up with Bible too. You better be careful going someplace and putting yourself in a position where you are open to everything that is not good for you. And he says, hey, this is not how you experience the control of God. Look there. If you highlight and underline in your Bibles there, a couple of things that'll help us out. Don't be drunk with wine. Don't be controlled by alcohol or drugs. And I'm going to use those interchangeably if you don't mind. We figured out lots of ways to do things. You can vape things. You can smoke things. You can inject things. You can drink things. We figured out all kinds of ways to be controlled by things other than what should control us. Nod your head if you'll grant that to me. So let me not say alcohol, drugs, vaping, smoking. If I just say alcohol, is everybody going to be okay with me? All right. Don't be controlled by things that shouldn't control you. Instead, be controlled by the Spirit of God. In your center column, maybe you've got notes in your Bible, it'll say something like, be being controlled. It's a present, active thing. Anybody here ever know anybody that was drunk and then the next day hung over? 1, 2, 4. Bunch of liars. All right, yeah. They're drunk the day before, the night before, and the next day they're hungover, but they're not drunk. Why? Because you got to keep drinking in order to stay under the influence. Now, you got the consequences the day after, and you got the effects the day after. In truth of the matter is, you've lowered the bar toward what it takes to get you buzzed the next time, and it takes more and more and all that kind of stuff, but you got to do it over again. Be being filled. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God indwells you. But for him to control you should be a continuous thing. Lord, control me. Lord, have me. Lord, use me. These kind of things are constantly submitting to the will and the word of God. That word fill there strikes people. Depending on your Bible background and stuff like that, you may have grown up in a place and to be filled with the Spirit was to just... Was maybe entertaining, maybe it was scary, maybe it was whatever. The word there is used quite a bit in the Scripture. When Jesus comes to the disciples and he's walking on the water, the Bible says they were filled, same word, plerao, filled with fear. Filled with fear. They were controlled by fear. There's filled with rage in the Bible. There's filled with joy. I am controlled. I am overwhelmed by this. I'm controlled by this. When he says filled, we're not really talking anything mystical. We're talking practical. Don't be controlled by this. Instead, be controlled by the Spirit of God. The words also help us a little bit here. He basically saying, stop drinking. Stop being controlled. Don't drink to be controlled. And do these kind of things. Do these kind of things. What about the word excess? Excess. It's the same word used they're talking about Luke 15 about the prodigal son. How many of you remember the prodigal son? Prodigal son. He says when he came to the end of himself, he said he took his father's money and we had wasted all with riotous living. Same word, excess. When he had lack of self-control and had given himself over to passion and pleasure, and he ends up in a mess because of it. Don't do this. It always works out badly. A drunk person lacks understanding and control. In the context, Paul instructs believers not to be drunk with wine, which causes unrestrained, look at it, excess living that always leads to ruin. Always leads to ruin. Drinking or drunkenness is, in context, normal for unbelievers. Being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God is to be normal for believers. You say, all right, preacher, but. All right, so here's my timeout. Here's my timeout. The preacher, but yeah. Let me help you a little bit. Let me help you. Alcohol is common now, like it was common then. There's just no way around it. In fact, I think it's more common. I think it's easier to do. In the Bible, number two, people drank who knew better. No way around it. People drank who knew better. Absolutely drank who knew better. Priests did it. kings did it. People did it. Guys did it. Proverbs talks about guy gets drunk, and then all of a sudden the lady of the evening looks fine to him and looks appealing to him. There are people who drank who knew better. Number three, it's obvious that wine, alcohol, drugs, whatever you want to call it, are different now. They're stronger. Ninth century, the modern process of a distillery is then. In this time period, again, a lot of times used as a disinfectant. The wine was cut with water. The alcohol was cut with water. Somebody says, preacher, you want to drink like they did in the Bible times? If you're going to take that much wine, you're going to pour 2 gallons of water in it. I suppose I would be okay. But I'd rather have Kool-Aid or Mountain Dew. At least I'll be able to taste that. And so we can kind of go from there. It was cut as a disinfectant. Number four, the warnings are clear. Warnings are clear. Let me say this again. And I realize where I'm at. I think in my conversation, and I'm not throwing rocks at brothers. I'm not really trying to. I think I may be one of the only guys on this end of town who is bald. No, I think I'm one of the only guys pastoring on this end of town who is a teetotaler. I really do think that. I really do think that. And they think I'm naive, and I think it's not for kings, O Lemuel. I think 1 Timothy, do not be given to. I think my testimony is worth a whole lot more than a lot of things. And I understand that. I understand that. The warnings are clear. I'm going to walk you through some warnings. Number five, in the Bible, drunkenness is always condemned. Drunkenness is always condemned. Drunkenness is always condemned. If you doubt the power of alcohol, you talk to any of the people, and drug use, talk to any of the people who put their hand up, you go see our retired our retired state patrolman, how many times he saw the effects of that in an automobile accident, had to make a call to somebody. There is no upside to being controlled by alcohol. It's condemned in society. It's obvious in society, and it is condemned in Scripture. Condemned in Scripture. They did a long 5-10 year study. They came out and they said maybe 2 ounces you could take and it not harm you. Maybe 2 ounces. Maybe 2 ounces. Because see here, this is how this works. How much food have you had today? How fit are you? How much do you weigh? How much water have you had? At that point, you can start to determine how much you can drink and it not affect you. If you were gassed the day before, it may take a little more or a little less the day of. And then you learn how to function that way. I've seen guys that are 280 that were lightweight. I've seen little girls at 150 drink everybody in the room under the table. You're all built differently. To say what controls you is different for you than for me. And the only way to know for sure is to get sauced. And then it's too late because you've already fallen into the sin of being drunk. It is tricky. If you're going to look at the scorpion, it is tricky. If you're going to say, look at the snake and say, don't bite me. Not the least of which is the other things. I put a quote in there. Intoxication is never a remedy for the cares of life, but it has few equals in its ability to multiply them. Few equals in its ability to multiply them. So let me walk you through this. Everybody with me here? Everybody walk with me? All right. Say, preacher, this is so strange, so strange. I know, but it'll be okay. Be okay. Don't be controlled, but be controlled by the Spirit. I always said, number one, it's always sinful. Always sinful to be drunk. It's always sinful to be controlled under the influence. It's always sinful of alcohol, drugs, drunk, be drunk. All right. Everybody with me? Everybody see this? Nod. No. No. Okay, all right. I had a good run. It was 8 years. And then I came in, the locks had been changed. Oh, man. It's always sinful. It's always sinful. Always sinful. Unequivocally, drunkenness is condemned. Drunkenness is condemned. Old Testament news picture. Every picture of drunkenness in the Bible is a picture of sin and disaster. You say, well, preacher, isn't this sometimes they do this, sometimes they do it? In Proverbs say, give wine to him that's about to perish? Absolutely. Knock him out. Knock him out. Man, if I have surgery and I got the button when I come out from there and they say, press the button, you'll feel better. Guess what? I'm pressing the button. They told me it would give me a pump, a squirt one time every 6 minutes. Every 6 minutes. I said six times 60 is 360. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I won't count 360. And at 361, you know what the big man did? Man, because I was hurting. I am glad for medicine that does that. We don't have to give somebody a nice Sauvignon blend if they're in agony. We can give them medicine. We can give them medicine. You say, well, sometimes they celebrate. Same kind of thing again. You've got 10,000, 20,000 people. You're unsure of the water that's there. Man, you're going to pour and disinfect some of that. We, again, still don't have to do that now. We can use 2 or 3 drops of bleach and it'll do some of those kind of. Other times, folks, man, they did. They had something besides water. If you're talking about the once or twice a year special occasion where you drink just a little bit and some kind of things, you're not arguing what I'm arguing here. And you're minimizing the warnings. There's a Christian writer, very prominent. He's Canadian, but on July 4th, in honor of the colonies, he will go to the store. He will take pictures of him buying something. Ale, I don't know what it is. Lager. He will go and eat a hot dog, put ketchup on it, which is okay, and mustard, which means he's evil. And he would do this, and he would say, the one time of the year that I'm doing this in celebration, and he'll have some drinks and all. and I never met him. He's got family down in Chattanooga. I never met him, but I wanted to ask him, man, if you're going to do this, why in the world would you tell 100,000 people who follow you on Twitter and ever how many folks follow you and read your blog, how many millions of views you get, why in the world would you say, this doesn't bother me, and I'm flaunting this. Because it's always sinful to be this way. It's always sinful to be this way. I've given you some scripture. I want you to see some of the scripture. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drinks raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not what? Wine, alcohol, drugs, vaping, blah, 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 always lies. So it won't be me. Won't be me. Nobody gets done, walks out of college, walks out of their wedding, and goes and lies down in the gutter. Nobody says, I'm sacrificing my family. Nobody says, I'm going to go home and beat all my kids. Nobody does that. It is a mocker. It is a liar. It always will win. Chapter 23, verse 20. Don't be hanging out among those folks, among riotous eaters of flesh. They will consume you. Only on TV, to the bars and all those kind of places, are they edifying. That is not how it works. It would drag you down. Verse 21, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall close a man with rags. Some of you show up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed Monday morning. Folks you work with show up, ice pack on their head, popping Tylenol, good for nothing. You roll your eyes because they're getting paid the same you're getting paid, and they're not good for anything at all. Some of you work with teenagers and 20-something-year-old, they come in baked out of their gourd, and if they show up at all, if they remember that they're supposed to go to work, and they are clothed with poverty and rags, it will take what is valuable from you. It'll take what's valuable from you. Go to Proverbs 23. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contention? Who has babbling? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? They that tarry long at wine go to seek mixed wine. Look not upon it when it's red, when it gives its color, in other words, when it's fermented. When it moves itself aright, last it bites like a serpent, stings like an adder. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, that sexual sin, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, coveters, you're drunkards, drunkenness, perpetual drunkenness. Drunkenness is a lifestyle. This is the indication of someone who doesn't know Jesus, who hasn't been transformed, hasn't had the chains broken in their life. It is a serious thing. And we mock it and we laugh at it and we make it easy. And we've accepted the culture that there is not unbelievable potential for problem here. Problem here. It's a problem. Proverbs 31:5, lest they drink, forget your law, pervert the judgment of the afflicted. Over and over and over again, D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was a physician before he became a pastor, speaking from the Westminster Chapel in London back during World War II, drink is not a stimulant, it is a depressant. It depresses first and foremost the highest centers of all the brain. They are the very first to be influenced and affected by drink. Some of you, many of you raised your hand, you've seen somebody or know somebody, your family, whatever. Isn't it something? You're pretty. Sit down, woman. Hey, what you doing later? Nothing involving you. Involving you. I have a cousin who is a highway patrolman, two sheriff's deputies in the family. Jerry's passed away now. One more. The stories they tell of people going, all right, put one foot in front of the other. Which foot? Guys always say, I didn't have that much to drink. Well, the drink had that much of you. Mine's gone. You ever been driving somebody in front of you? You ever seen somebody come to work and lie to you? Black eye, broken chin, broken hand. One of the last public jobs I had, lady came in, four fingers and a thumb. He grabbed her so hard, I can't imagine how he didn't snap her arm. Affects us. Notice the word there, excess. Riotous living. The lack of self-control where you waste your life and end up in ruin. It is not a stimulus. Let me help you. And the people who go, I got it under control, they're usually deceived already. Don't be drunk. They give everything, they control everything, gives a man self-control. Jones continues, wisdom, understanding, discrimination, judgment, balance, the power to assess. In other words, everything that makes a man behave at his very best and highest. The better a man's control, the better the man is. But drink is something, alcohol, drugs, vaping, different chemicals. But drink is something which immediately gets rid of control. It is indeed the first thing it does. The warnings are clear. If you can do the physics lesson and compute everything and get your beaker out and put in an ounce and a half of this kind of thing. By the way, and somebody says, you're inconsistent. You're inconsistent because you use vanilla. Use vanilla, and that's 40 proof. I got news for it. The vanilla that goes in my cake didn't go in my mouth. You never caught the preacher chugging on vanilla. Amen? Somebody said, I didn't know it was that. Look, you're trying to say inconsistent. There's a long way between what you call inconsistent and avoiding and ignoring the warnings that are there. It's always sinful, and it's always God's will. It's always God's will to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. You still with me? Say amen. I feel like I've just told everybody that their babies are ugly and that they're never going to amount to anything in life. I flew to Florida. I thought I was going to fly into Jacksonville, Bill, and I flew to Florida. I was preaching for a fella, and he picks me up at the airport, and takes me to eat, and we're talking, and he says, okay, you're going to stay in my daughter's room. She's off college. I said, okay, that's fine. He said, you're going to stay right near my son's room. Okay. And he kind of laughs and smirks. I don't think anything about it. And I get in there, and these insane people have a long, long, long yellow snake, boa constrictor, mamba, cobra, anaconda. I don't know what it was. They kept trying to want me to pet it. I kept asking, were they on drugs? And they said it'll be okay. I said, is the snake going to be in the house while I'm here? They said, well, the snake lives in the house. I went, you people, I'm going to start preaching right now. Turn to Genesis 2. The serpent was more subtle. And all the beasts of the field. And if you love snakes, God bless you. Understand when I don't accept an invitation to your home. And we can barbecue up back. I walked in to show me, and there's this long, kind of aquarium, I reckon. Large aquarium. I mean, large aquarium. And then it was a screen on top, like you have in your door or your window. Screen on top. And then there was a couple of center blocks. I understood the one. I understood the screens. Snake needed to breathe. I didn't understand the center block. I said, what's the center blocks for? And the son said, it's because the bricks stopped working. Stopped. What? Yeah, snake got too strong. We kept coming home. The snake had pushed the bricks off, and the snake was running around. Snake was slithering around the house. The snake had been running. I'd have gotten the hotel. And the snake's walking around the house. And I go, okay, but the cinder blocks work. So far, when it was time for me to sleep that night, I got three towels from the bed, from the bathroom. I shoved them under the door. I made sure the window was unlocked in case I needed to exit real well. Truth of the matter is, if I'd have gotten tangled up in my bed sheets, being confused, spending the night in the strange place, there would have been a Rodney-sized hole in the wall. Because the only thing I could think about that night was, dear God, help the cinder blocks to keep working. I didn't pray about the service. I didn't pray about the spiritual need of people. All I knew was I was going to end up some Florida man story on the news. Local stranger gets eaten by giant snake. And that's all I could do. Man, that's all I could do. I was glad to leave. Truth of the matter is, I was worried they're going to put the snake in there when I was taking a shower. I may have taken a record shower. I think I was in and out in about 7 minutes. I didn't care. I soaked the floor. I kept half the thing open. I'm making sure nobody's coming in and messing with the big man. And so we're there. Say, ha ha, preacher, that's a pretty good story. They weren't worried. Why were you worried? Because to me, giant snake could kill you in the house is not the world's best idea. Because to me, if it already broke the bricks off, and the only thing keeping it in there now was some cinder blocks that are still working, again, I'm not interested in being the one where he figures out how to push those off. It is no exception that Scripture says when at the last it stings like a serpent, an adder. Stings like a scorpion when it bites like an adder. Do not be controlled by this. Let me give you a little hope. You don't have to be controlled. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You can do, like so many times I've seen folks do, man, you can pour the bottles out. You can dump the pills in the sink. You can reclaim them. You can put the needles away. You can quit the vape. You can quit putting all that in your mouth. You don't have to be anymore because God can control you, and you can have joy and peace and hope and satisfaction, and the chains can be broken. You don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to any of those things anymore. You don't have to hide it. God can deliver you. Let me help you. And he can deliver your family and your friends and your loved ones. And as you come, maybe you want to pray for them. Maybe you want to come and pray and ask God to break the chains in their life. Maybe you've got a son or a daughter or grandchild. Maybe you've got a spouse or somebody like that. Whatever it is in your life, and you see people and they are so beholden and controlled by what should not be controlling them. Don't be controlled that way. Be under the influence. the control of the Spirit of God. Be warned. Understand. And let God deliver you. Let God deliver you. Be filled. Be controlled by the Spirit of God. Be so careful. Be so careful about the things that would overwhelm us and get a hold of us a lot quicker than we ever thought they would. And there are so many ways for that to happen, not just, I talked a lot about alcohol, but not just alcohol in 2022. Would you pray with me right now? Father, there's so much hope that's here. There's so much help that's here. And Lord, I understand in 2022, Father, that I'm talking what is common. Lord, there's aisles and aisles of stuff at the grocery store. There's aisles and aisles of stuff at Sam's and Costco. Lord, there's moonshine cookies out on Kingston Pike. And Father, even though the legal age is certain things, Lord, 16, 17, 18,